just making sure it's fine.
Hello, and welcome to Westworld, Family World Kind of Podcast.
I'm Matt.
I'm Malcolm.
I'm Emmett.
And I'm Jen.
And we'll start this week how we start with every week. We talk about how we did at week play, which actually on Sunday we are going to the Wakanda Championship where they will have the Enchanted Statue.
There, yep. But yep. How did we, so, but before we talk about this weekend, why don't we talk about what you just said we were going to talk about, which is last week's league play.
So I actually got forced out of the four of us because I kind of did the same thing that I went to the draft. I got, my first match was 2-0, my second match was 2-1, and then I went to table one, but instead of getting 2-0, I got 2-1.
No, you got 1-2, so you lost.
Right.
But yeah, so Emmett did the best out of all of us because he ended up getting fourth place or third?
Fourth overall.
Fourth overall, which is awesome.
I got 6-7?
I don't remember.
6-0. What did you get?
We did not do as well as these children.
No.
There was a lot of people playing, and these children did a lot better than we did.
And I also didn't expect us. I also won against John.
Yeah.
He won against the person who won the
last championship at our location, which he was pretty excited about.
Because
let's talk about everything else.
Ray, and then he just like, yep, you won, because seems like that he had every only uninkable six drops, like the Gaston, Madame Medusa.
I won a game in four turns.
Yeah, Malcolm won a game in four turns.
Wait, what did you have on the board?
Tiger Piglet, four Lilos, I think it was like two Lilos and two Melissa Finch or something like that. And then I played a goat. Then I played Melissa Finch and an Arthur. And he just gave it to you.
Yeah, you guys did really well this weekend. It's great to see. Emmett, this weekend was the first weekend piloting your new deck, which was red and green, kind of invasive deck. How do you think that went?
I think that went actually pretty good.
Well, yeah, you did pretty good at it.
Because I've been practicing for like a month, and no one expected it.
No, everyone is pretty impressed with the
and,
deck.
And the last guy that I faced was just like, oh boy, he actually faced it. I am not ready for this. You know what? Your deck will be my deck.
I'm not sure.
My deck can beat your deck. Sure.
Well, I'm sure one day we will see. Emmett, what do you think worked well in your new deck?
I think like getting like all the ones, like I did get like usually half the time I didn't get any one drop, but I got those good two drops. Like the best one drop that I usually get is of course Marvel. That's like the best one drop in my deck.
Merfolk.
Curse Merfolk. Yeah. Oh, that's what you said.
Yeah, this isn't really hard. Turn two, you play an Ursula. Turn three, you play either you play the Surfer Lady or the Aerial. No, or and turn four, you play turn three, you have a chip. You can choose three people. You can either choose the Soulful Midi, you can choose Wildcat, or you can choose the Aerial.
So basically,
I would choose Wildcat if I were you.
Because Wildcat, it's just randomly drawing.
But if I had...
You have
but
multiple
if I,
of those cards, yeah. And you
but
have to make choices.
But
that's
if I had all three... But if I had the three of those in my deck, I would choose Wildcat, especially if they were playing a possible deck.
Because
Wildcat... not only is he evasive, whenever he exerts, no, not question, you can tap him, and then you can banish an item. And when I was battling John, I got rid of a fishbone quill by him.
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah.
It's a pretty tricky move to do.
And that also got rid of him playing, being able to play a lucky dime.
Yeah.
Oh, wow, that's great.
Yeah, but one thing you have to do, because I did talk to some of the guys after you guys were done playing, and Emmett, the guy that beat you at the end, said there was a time where you could have had him, but you took out his castle instead of questing.
And you could have quested for,
you
like,
could have
six
just
lore.
Quested for, like, five or six lore. Instead, you took out the castle. And, well, yeah, that's important because he could get card draw, and it's going to get him two lore on the next turn. Like, you gave up five lore to get rid of his two.
So
you have to make sure that when you're making decisions about whether to attack or quest, especially with a deck like yours that's kind of more evasive, that you do the math to see, if I take this out, how much lore am I denying them versus how much lore I can gain by just questing.
Okay.
Okay.
That makes
Wait,
sense.
Question.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Do any locations just have evasive, like they just put it out evasive?
There's one that gives the cards there.
No, not like gives the cards, like has evasive, like when you battle.
No, there's no locations that themselves have evasive.
Or
one of them gives the cards evasive.
Yeah, that is the
RLS.
RS. Yeah, that's what makes that item, that location so
powerful.
Is
like
it?
That's a very good thing mm-hmm. to play when you play Milo.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, so great. Glad you guys had some good games the week before heading into the set championship stuff. Starts, and we're recording this, starts tomorrow, so we'll see how we all do. We're going to get into talking about the set championships a little bit more. We're also going to talk about the main kind of thing we'll go over are the decks you'll probably see there, the decks that people are playing right now. Kind of go through like what to expect from them and what kind of tactics you want to plan once you see what they're playing with. But first, it is time to continue our wait for Ursula's return.
Ursula will return in May.
Yep, that's right. In May, Ursula will show back up and we'll have a whole set centered around her.
Someone will see Sue for some reason.
She's a dragon, dude.
Why does she...
What?
Is there any viable ass dragon?
So Zelda has once again invaded our space. She is very excited about Ursula. Every day she just asks me, hey, when does Ursula return? Can you tell me?
If you want to see this adorable dog, please watch us on YouTube.
So anyways, there were some cards revealed this week.
Really?
Ursula's return.
What
yeah.
color is it?
You'll find
We're
out.
We're going to go through. I'm not going to like just tell you. Like I, it's the, you understand the whole point of the podcast is that we're going to talk about the cards.
No, I have no clue.
And I'm not just going to like randomly talk about them without you guys knowing anything about it. So let's take a look at the first card.
What is it?
Oh,
we've
record
got player. Record player. It's an amber, two cost inkable.
What is it
for? It's an item. With two abilities.
Wait a minute, that's on Stitch.
Yep, so let's read the card. The first ability is, look at this. Whenever you play a song, chosen character gets -2 strength until the start of your next turn.
Ooh, that'll be good for Mom's deck. Wait, that'll be Eve. Oh, wait, that would be good against Mom's deck.
The second ability has is Hit Parade. So your character's name, Stitch, count as having +1 cost to sing songs. So
yeah,
if you have a 1-cost Stitch,
yeah.
It can now sing 2-cost songs. So on.
I was about to say, like, it kind of reminds me of, like, normal Stitch, like, runs into this, and then it turns into Rockstar Stitch.
So now, question, though, because it doesn't say you have to tap it to do that. So
right.
Is it just an item you have out, and so you could do both abilities in one turn?
Yes.
Or do those abilities multiple times in a turn? So, like, if I have, like, 3 Stitches out, could they all potentially sing for 2?
Yes.
And then 3 different characters... Would,
if I sing or if I sing 2 different songs in a turn, which sometimes I do,
yes.
Actually oftentimes I do, then I can use that top ability twice.
Yeah.
Ooh, and it's inkable.
It's inkable. It's an interesting.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'm thinking they're gonna have more 2-cost songs now because we only have a couple right now. We have Bare Necessities.
Yeah, I'm thinking more. There will be more Stitches.
Oh, or different Stitches, sure.
Because, right, you've got the 1-drop Stitch, so that can turn into a 2-cost singer. There are other...
3 Stitches?
There are other
Not
Stitches.
Not Amber, though.
There's the Rockstar Stitch, there's the Surfer Stitch, but really adding another cost to their songs. Rockstar Stitch always sings at six.
Yeah.
Server stitch already synced.
So it's gotta be somebody that's a two or three cost or four cost.
So probably more stitches. There is a three cost stitch in Ruby. Yeah. But he's like a rush character, so odds are he doesn't like survive to sing on the next turn.
Mm-hmm.
There's a five cost stitch in Emerald. But again, you're already at five cost. Really the only song I believe that is above a five is Be Prepared.
Mm-hmm.
So he still couldn't sing that. So I'm not sure. We'll have to see what other stitches come out to see if this is playable right now. I don't really see it probably being used too often.
Again, we'll see. This makes me feel like they're going to be bringing more songs out.
Well, so, obviously there'll be more songs.
Yeah.
It's the question of will they do anything with the stitches that you have? Like until we see what stitches come, we won't know. So. We'll see what stitches come out.
The next card is a stitch.
The next card is not a stitch. Do not have any stitches to show you.
Is it a song?
It is not a song.
Is it a location?
No. Okay. So it is Louisa.
Did she steal?
Of course she steals.
Oh.
Dude, why is this a story bonus? She's not part of the
She's protecting a donkey. What do you mean? That's all she does in the story is protect donkeys.
And dances with them.
What she does. It's a three-cost inkable steel card. Has strength of two, willpower four. Ability is I'm the strongest one. While you have another character in play, this character gets plus two strength. And they also quest for one.
Oh, that makes sense.
Cause
that's a really good idea for her.
Mm-hmm. When she gets strong.
And she's also battling Ursula.
Yes, it does look like she's battling Ursula, who desperately wants the donkey.
That donkey?
The donkey is just so... The donkey is freaked out or just high.
Matthew, this is a family podcast.
I meant, like, high on... that is for sure.
I don't think I'm a kid to
It basically, she's saying there's no way Ursula's creatures are getting to that donkey. So the donkey, critical to the Orkana lore. Get ready for step five, Revenge of the Donkey. So this, I think, won't probably see much action. Here's why. It's a three-cost steel card. If you're playing steel, you're probably playing the Ship Robin Hood, or you've got Tinkerbell that you can play there, songs that you can play there, Smee that quests for two and is a 3/3.
I think you think maybe good in the draft.
Excuse me, cost two. In a draft, I think is where this will shine.
Yeah, for sure.
Odds are you'll probably have multiple characters out, especially.
And especially that this is a common song.
Yeah, so you'll for sure see her because she's a common. You'll be able to hit with her on turn four before you kind of have to play another character in case you might support out of other characters. So definitely will probably see a lot of turns if you're doing a draft or playing trumpet or something like that.
Because you're not going to see many.
But again, you know, again, we also have the whole Madrigal being a thing too. Yeah. So who knows? Because we haven't seen Casita yet, right? As a card?
No, not
so far. We don't know what color Casita's gonna be.
We don't know if it's gonna be a location or a character.
Yeah, that's very true. But I mean, I'm thinking it's gonna be a location, and that being a Madrigal is gonna have something to do with it. So, maybe when we see that, it'll kind of all come together with their thought processes.
You know, I'm thinking it has to be a location, right? Because if it was a character, then you could put Casita inside other locations. So all of a sudden, Casita's not Pride Rock, it's from Up or something.
I think it's from Up. They put Casita in a airship.
Sure. Why not? Put Casita on the RLS Legacy. Put Casita on the Jolly Roger. Sure. Casita goes everywhere. So I think it's going to be a location. Yeah. Everywhere. I'm not sure if we should talk about this next card.
Oh, okay.
I'm not really sure if we should.
Okay.
We're not supposed to talk about it.
Is it a Bruno card? I mean,
maybe.
Ooh, an Emerald song.
We don't. It's an Emerald song. We don't talk about Bruno. It's a five-cost Inkable. When you play it, return chosen character to their player's hand. Then that player discards a card at random.
So it could be you or somebody else.
So, you could choose yourself in theory, but then you'd be discarding your own card.
Yeah, sure.
But this is an interesting mechanic because, right, this is the first one where it's you're discarding cards at random from someone's hand. So you have someone sing this card or you play this card, you kick them off the board, and then basically that person's going to have to take their hand, kind of fan it out for you, and like you pick a card at random to choose to discard. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of a way to almost completely get rid of someone.
Pick. So this is another
one. It's one card.
Just pick one. So this is the second 5-drop song other than Be Prepared.
Be Prepared 7.
Your fate is sealed.
It's also not the only 5-drop song. It's also
red. I love it.
Nope. That's 4. Whole New World, Grab Your Swords, all cost 5.
Yeah.
But this one, first 5 cost song, I think, for Emerald.
I love the art. Like, it's not like just taken from the song. Like, they actually made a different art.
Yep. Mm-hmm. The art is cool. Someone actually said, when I saw it, I thought it was a dancing Darth Vader.
I can see that. Yeah.
Before they looked at
the song. But he's tiptoeing.
Yeah.
Tiptoeing Darth Vader.
And then they were disappointed when they read the rest of the card. But it is a cool card. Probably not great for destructive because you're already up at 5 ink. Like, that's pretty high up there. You're getting a 5 cost character on there. Could be pretty difficult. I'd still probably take it if it came across because it is a rare. Will it see regular play?
And it's
inkable. I don't know. Maybe.
I don't think I would see it. But not even in its back, I wouldn't see it.
I mean, it's some removal for Emerald, which doesn't have a ton of it. It has more discard. This is now removal and discard at the same time. Mm-hmm. So
your fate is filled with your prophecies is real.
It's red.
So those were the new cards for this week, those 3. I'm sure we'll be getting more and more each week as we inch closer and closer to Ursula's return.
Ursula will return.
That's the jingle they use. But the big news before you get to the Ursula's return is still the Lorcana Set Championships coming up this week. Odds are when you're listening to this, you will have already maybe signed up for one or you're getting ready to go to one. I know I'll be going to one the night that this goes out, hoping to get this Rockstar Stitch. A couple of quick notes to kind of go over before you hit the championships. Remember, these are going to be judged events. All right, so what do you guys think that kind of means?
Like, there's going to be, people, watching you everything.
So no. They're not going to have one judge for every person.
I more meant, you can't...
Like, if there's ever a question or, you can't take, there's no take backs. You can't, if they suspect you of cheating in any way, they will call the judge over and call you out for it. So, I know we talked about keeping score on paper and pencil. So that way you have a record of it rather than just using dice or another method or even the app. Because you want to have a record of it, so that way if there is a discrepancy, there are judges there that can help with your discrepancy. This is different than normal weekly play, which is normally just a friendly game of, it's not really a big deal if you win or lose.
Yeah, so here there will be a judge that you can call over if there is a dispute over a ruling or a call. Next time I'm going to hear location warnings. So last week we talked about how, can't just say, oops, I forgot to get my location stuff. Technically, you're both sides are supposed to note when the lore gets counted from locations. It's a board state change. The location's just gaining lore. You don't technically have to claim it. Just both players are supposed to note it at the same time.
Oh.
If neither one of you notes it, you both could get a warning from the judge. So it is up to everyone to make sure that they are counting the locations.
Oh, so you should be. So, you'll get in trouble for letting your opponent miss it.
Yeah.
I see.
So you would both get a warning in that kind of case. So just make sure that you are both noting it. So don't think you can just whoopsie daisy, you forgot to do that when you're playing. make sure that you're all counting the right lore. Now, if they forget to quest with a character, that is completely fair, because that is all on them. Next, I have good manners. So it's a lot of people. Probably going to have new people. People that haven't played in person, maybe even. They've only been playing on, like, Pixelborn or something. Or they've been only playing in other stores. Or maybe they haven't been playing with kids. And they might get frustrated, and you guys might get frustrated. We all might get frustrated if we, like, have a bunch of bad games in a row. The point is to remember that this, at the end of the day, is all about having fun. So you don't want to throw down cards in anger. You don't want to yell at someone. You don't want to... you don't want to accidentally, like, just make someone feel bad. You don't want to just, you know, be a good person. Have fun. Be respectful. If you lose, shake the person's hand and just kind of move on. Okay?
Okay.
Does that make sense, guys?
Yeah. But I do have a question.
Sure.
Is it just going to be a 1v1, or are we going to be, like, 1v1v1v1?
No, so all of these are always just 1v1. Okay. So it's like, again, you could play up to, what is it, 10?
So there'll be...
Everyone plays five,
and then it gets cut to the top 8. Then the top 8 will play 3 more games.
So you're used to only playing 3 games, and we're going to be playing 5 games.
Okay. Does that make sense?
No.
What do you mean no? You're used to only playing 3 different people on Sundays when we play.
5 different people.
You're going to be playing 5 different people this time.
Maybe.
And 8? Well, if you make the top 10?
Top 8.
Top 8. If you make the top 8, then you'll play another 3 games to see who wins the top 4.
But what if I don't win 3 games?
Then you will play on your cell phone, or your aunt will come pick you up and
go
hang out with you.
How can I play on my cell phone? I can't play and work on my cell phone.
Well, I mean,
we don't mean Okan. We just meant, like, play around on your cell phone, play a game on your cell phone.
Watch
okay.
YouTube.
Okay. Well, I'm sure, buddy, we'll keep you entertained. You have a fun time every other Sunday. You're going to have a great time this Sunday, I'm sure. Which makes the last part just have fun, right? Which is play a game.
The only time I'll get mad is when I get 99 puppies.
You won't get mad. You will have fun.
You will have fun.
Unless
you only fun!
The only time I will not have fun is when I am playing my son's baby.
Yes. Then we are allowed to get upset. That it's fair. We are allowed to get upset. And then we're going to, like, bribe you to just say, yeah, we won.
I won't, because they have a better chance of winning than I do.
Okay. So, with the set championships, you are going to see a lot of different decks. You may see, we're going to go over the 5 most popular decks right now.
This is based on Pixelborn, I'm guessing?
This is based on tournament results, Pixelborn results, and all sorts of stuff. Basically, these are the 5 current top decks in the meta, per se. And we're going to go over each one and talk about them a little bit, because odds are you're going to see these decks this weekend.
Wait, I just want to say something. This is totally out of context, but I just want to say a lot of people think it, Rockstar Stitch is playing a guitar. That is wrong. He's playing a bass.
Okay.
Okay, you can continue now. I'm going to buy
my movie. Okay.
Wow.
Great. Noted. What about the other cards?
I don't know. And I'm getting nervous because I'm going to be mad if it's a guitar and a normal card.
Well, maybe they're all just clones of Stitches, because Stitch was created, and it's got a whole Stitch band.
Oh, you know what? That's true.
But if we get, like, another one that's him
a drummer Stitch?
I mean, right. I talked about, me and Dad
and
talked
about... And then a keytar? I want a keytar Stitch.
Keytar Stitch.
You didn't think about talking about how, like, maybe the next store championship might be someone from set 2, and me and my dad said it might be, like, a sad beast enchanted.
And then
set 3, I want to be Kylo Piglet enchanted. Wait, please answer my call. I'm a piglet enchanted. Wait,
okay, you can
continue.
All right, let's continue. We're getting really off topic. But we're going to say it.
Evan, what did you have?
I hope there is a Stitch flying card. Because then I've seen a house fly. Then I've seen a dragon fly. Now I've seen everything once I've seen a Stitch fly.
Okay, so now we're referencing Dumbo. Got it.
Dumbo,
there isn't any
Dumbo
cards.
No, no
Dumbo cards. Maybe Dumbo will come fly in and save
the
day.
No, Bambi. Yeah, no.
It's Bambi. There are Bambi cards. Aren't there a couple of Bambi?
I don't think there are Bambi cards either.
Maybe not.
No.
I thought that, like, Flower, like, one of the, like, little animals was a card. Maybe not.
I've got it.
No, I think Dumbo's going to fly in and save the day.
Let's add Fantasia 2000 cards.
What if they make
well,
a
technically,
hunter
we already
card
have...
from Bambi? And when you play him,
wow,
it kills anyone on the field that's like a dad. Just like bosses on the field.
What dads are left? Like, there are no dads in, like, any Disney movie. Like, tell me a card. Tell me a current Disney card that's a father.
Mufasa.
Although, okay, Mufasa and King Triton. That's it. It's just those two. And they're not labeled as fathers, so it doesn't work.
Fine. Any of that's kings.
Mother.
Oh, wait, kings works.
Yeah.
Kings works.
Why father?
What?
Because...
He killed Bambi's mother.
No.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Fine, he kills mothers and fathers.
He kills all parents.
To all parents. If you are a parent, you're dead.
Wow.
I think that's... I mean, that makes it a true Disney game.
I come in and say... I come in and say, oh, something fun, Dumbo's going to come and fly in and save the day. And you go to, you get a hunter card and kill all the parents.
I'm just, I mean, it would be Ruby.
This got Dot. Went from the donkey thing to the donkey.
What? This is what I...
Anyways. So, Dex, you're probably going to see this weekend. So, first up,
Ruby
Amethyst, Bounce Pinch Roll. So, the fox, the goat, be prepared. This is a deck that is designed to control the game. They want to keep your
board.
Is it board.
That boys?
Yes, this is what I play normally. So, this is a deck that's designed
to be
get
my
control
deck.
get control of the game. Basically, use their early turns to... get a card advantage. They're holding a lot of cards, so that when turn 7 comes around, they can throw down, be prepared, wipe out all the work the other player has done, and then start to take control from there with other high power cards that will eliminate the other side.
And it's also known for sneaky lore.
Yeah, and so it's got all the bounce package inside of it. That's the first part, the bounce part, where you have the mims and the goats that all do things when you play things to bounce things back to your hand, and then more stuff happens with the goat gaining lore, rabbit drawing cards, the fox with the rush crab giving opponents +3. So this is probably been the most popular deck. It's on a little bit of a downswing lately as everybody wants to beat it. So everyone is teching their cards to destroy this deck, which has been super fun. If you're playing against this deck, you want to try to go pretty fast. You want to try to get up as much advantage as you can in lore before they are able to kind of wipe everything out. So that you see this star play, you want to try to go fast. Or if you've got some destruction in your deck, so Jen, you're playing Steel Song, so you want to try to kill when they only have one card on the board, like kill that card, because then that makes all their Madam Mim cards useless.
Yep.
Right? If they can't bounce something back, all of a sudden the fox isn't a factor, the snake's not a factor. They can only play the other half of that bounce combo.
What about the dragon?
The dragon, Maleficent Dragon?
No one plays that.
People play it.
No, they do.
There's not really much defense.
No, the Mim Dragon.
No one plays that
one. No one plays the Mim Dragon.
Because you have to bounce two back, so you have to make sure you already have two characters on board, and it costs 7 to play, so it's a lot to play, and then she can just die to someone with Dragonfire or one of the other things.
Yeah, no, most people are using their ink to play the two red ladies that... Get rid of your cards.
Oh, so
ladies
from
Tremaine.
Huh?
Ladies and chairs.
Ladies and chairs.
You got the trifecta. You've got Tremaine, you've got Madame Medusa, and then for a little spice, you've got Yzma. She's also sitting in a chair.
But yeah, I highly dislike both Lady Tremaine and what's the other one's name?
Madame Medusa.
Madame Medusa. I highly dislike them both.
I have like 7 cards in my.
Yeah, usually at that point you're pretty.
Especially because, like, it's especially with the bounce. So, like, if you put down one of those, they have to discard something, and then you bounce it back with a Mim, and then you get to do it again.
Yep. It's not perfect. Not as you're playing against it.
Oh, no, we're still talking about this.
So this is probably the deck you'll see the most because this is one everyone built in set two. There has been a ton of changes, actually, going into this latest set with it, and so most people have all these cards.
And they're well-practiced with them.
And well-practiced with them. So you will see this quite a bit.
I will say, though, one of the downfalls of this deck is that you can potentially get a ton of uninkables early on. That is a way that I beat this deck, is when the other person just couldn't get up to the 7 ink to get a Be Prepared down. Before I was able to flood the board with, flood the board with a ton of small, cards that could get me a lot of lore. And so I was able to win that way. I think that's the only way I've ever beat you, in fact.
This is one of the decks. If you're playing against it, it's a good strategy. If you are playing a deck that has Whole New World in it and if you have the queen shifting combo, you could shift that queen on turn 2, sing Whole New World right away, get rid of their mulligan, and you could beat them with a handful of unthinkables.
Yep.
So.
I don't do that with the queen anymore, but I do that with Robin Hood.
Yeah, same thing.
If there's nobody out there to attack with Robin Hood, I've done that before.
Yeah. So, speaking of which, next deck, Amber Steel Song. So this is the deck that Jen uses.
Yep.
So this has been on the rise recently again.
The new songs.
People are putting in, you've got the new song in, Along Came Zeus, right?
As well as Bare Necessities.
Bare Necessities, the Robin Hood, you got the Beast from the second set in there, Tinkerbell doing damage, but the heart of this...
And the Stitches.
The Stitches, sure. The heart of these decks have always been Ariel, the Spectacular Singer. When she comes out, she lets them find another card that's a song and put it right in their hand. And if you are playing against this, if you can kill that Ariel on site, you kill it on site because she can sing for 5, which means she can sing that Whole New World. Or grab your swords and do some serious damage to the other side. So Ariel is a big old target once you see her out. If there is a way for you to get rid of her, get rid of her. It is a very, very popular deck. Because again, this was kind of a deck that has existed since the beginning, and people have just kind of tacked more stuff into it as the sets have gone along. So you will probably see this. Some people will be playing Lanterns with it. Some people will play Flutes with it. Some people will play the Stitches with it. So,
the Plutos, too. The
Plutos as well. There's a lot of variability in this deck. But your number one target is really, I would recommend it. Getting rid of that Ariel or getting rid of the ship targets
like the Robin Hood and the Stitch.
Kill the low ship targets, the Stitch, the Robin Hood, the Queen,
the Pluto.
Play the Tinkerbell, the one, they just go right to the 6-1. But try to get rid of those and kill that Ariel on the stun.
Yeah, the Pluto too, because the Pluto works like a lantern that also quests, so. And you can shift the big Pluto.
Let's hope that you guys don't live around an alien and you just told them how to beat mom and dad.
Like I said, there's a lot of people on these lists is because there are a lot of people.
A lot of people are playing. And the reason why I like this deck so much, even though I don't necessarily win a ton with it, even though I have, it's just fun to play with. Like, I think that this is like a super fun deck to play, and I enjoy it.
Lots of people do. That's quite popular. Up next, we've got Emerald Steel Control.
So this is coming up.
This has been getting more and more popular. The thing that will keep this from seeing a ton of them is the cost.
Yeah.
This is probably, it's either that or Steel Song that is the most expensive deck in the game. Steel Song, though, they have the advantage of people have been building on that since set one. This requires a lot of set 3 cards, at least the 2 most expensive set 3 cards, the Robin Hood and the Ursula. And then you also have to throw in Tragic Beasts, which are very expensive from set 2. So it's a very expensive deck, so you might not see it right away, but it has been on the upswing. Basically, it's hard is you've got the Ursula, the Seeker of All, so she sings songs twice when you play them. So if you imagine you have 3 characters on board, you have her sing Spring for Radiant Fire, you're doing 3 damage to 2 different characters. She can kind of wipe out your early board that way. She can sing let the storm rage on, getting two damage to two different characters, and drawing two cards.
Mm-hmm.
So that can do a lot of damage. And you've still got the ship packet from Robin with all the stuff, all that steel stuff that works so well, and steel song also works here.
Mm-hmm.
People have also been, there's basically two different variants of this, one where you kind of are doing all this damage, and then another where you are also making them discard, so they're playing Prince John's and Bucky's, and playing all the Floodborns to make you discard and have them draw, and it can be a really, really annoying deck to play against, but it does require them to kind of draw the right stuff, and if mm-hmm. they don't draw the right stuff, then they run out of resources.
And I also see people like playing a few of the bodyguards too, like the Kitas, and the what's the other steel bodyguard? Is that the only one?
No, there's a Hercules bodyguard.
Hercules, that's what it is. The Hercules and the Kitas, which helps protect your Ursulas and your Robin Hoods, even though they, you know, I mean, the Robin Hood is a pretty tough card, but that Ursula one you can beat relatively easily, but having those bodyguard cards in there kind of helps this one out quite a bit.
I know one made the Robin Hood less cheap if it was, if it had shift and bodyguard.
Yeah, it's already like a super overpowered card.
Yeah.
It doesn't need anything else. Like, do you not understand what it does of it? Like,
yeah.
When it attacks and takes out another character, then you still get the two lore. So, like, you get to basically attack and get lore at the same time. And when it gets removed, you also get to draw a card.
So, way better version of that Hans from the first step.
Yeah.
But I was just thinking of, because that means you have to take it out before anybody else. That's why it would be less.
Sure.
So some of the rules apply here. Like, if you see those low shift targets of Robin Hood, you want to take those out as soon as you can. If you see that Ursula on board, try to take it out before they can sing. Those would be the tricks to kind of beating this deck. It is getting more and more popular, but like I said, it's really expensive, so it's going to be hard for people to just switch over to it. Up next is Ruby Sapphire Control.
Why
so,
This is the one that has been. I saw this. Oh no, it wasn't this one. It was the Emerald Sapphire that we were seeing, or was it this one? I don't remember.
Probably this one.
This one
has been gaining a lot of popularity.
I played this one twice on Sunday.
So basically, with this one, you've got people playing a Fishbone Quill on turn three, getting a ton of ink so that they can play the big ruby cards that control it, so that they could sing. Or play Be Prepared as early as turn four, in some cases, to wipe out the other side, and then start throwing down big things like Lady Tremaine's, Madame Medusa's, Maleficent Dragons, Gaston's, and then also throwing down the Lucky Dime to like gain lore off of something after immediately playing it. So they're playing big questers like Gaston, Tamatoa, Belle, and then playing the Lucky Dime to like instantly gain that lore as soon as they play it.
Yeah,
so they
that
can
Tamatoa
win really fast.
Especially because it is like a heavy item deck. Playing the items and then having that Tamatoa out, and then you can put that Lucky Dime out, and you can be questing for up to 10 in a single turn.
Yep.
Which
so
is crazy.
The weakness here, right, is going fast.
Yeah.
It can't go fast, and it can't compete with decks that go fast. So Malcolm, your aggro deck is kryptonite to this. Emmett, your deck is kryptonite to this.
Yep.
Because both your decks are designed to go fast. So mm-hmm. if you see that they're playing this, then you want to play your bigger questers out as soon as possible and just have them quest. Because they probably won't be playing a character until turn four.
But I do have a card that can get rid of both the Lucky Dime and the Fun Quill.
Right, which is nice. Yep. And that's why your deck was really good against this.
Against John.
Yep. Yeah.
But other decks have item removals too. If you don't have item removal, then just want to quest fast. If you do have item removal, get rid of that Fishbone Quill as soon as it shows up. Get rid of that Lucky Dime as soon as it shows up to slow them down. Don't worry about the popsicles. Worry about the Quill and the Dime. And then last on here is a very similar one. It's the Steel Sapphire Ramp, which is also...
Wait, Tamatoa is blue?
Yep, Tamatoa is blue. So it is basically playing the same game as the ruby one,
mm-hmm.
Except you've also got all the like removal spells, so they can kind of control the early game a little bit better than they can. Mm-hmm. So you might see a lot of early spells, and they're going to try to do a whole new world to you pretty much as soon as possible, probably on turn 4 or turn 5. They're going to try a whole new world, so they're just going to empty out their hand using that fishbone quill to generate all that ink, and then play a whole new world to refill their hand, and then just take over from there. So again, you kind of want to try to go fast as much as possible here. And avoid them doing that whole new world as best as you can. At the very least, try to avoid having them have someone sing it. Try to take out a singer if it shows up that can sing for 5.
I thought Tamato was Emerald.
Well, no. You're wrong. It's blue.
The big one's blue.
Oh, like the small one that's green.
Yeah, the big one is blue, and so his right ability is once you put him down, you get to bring an item in from your graveyard, and then every time you quest, you bring an item back from the discard. And he gets +1 lore for each item that you have in play. So I've seen it with as much as, you know, +6 lore on him. He quests for 6. The lucky diamond for 6. That's 12 lore.
Pretty much game over.
Your game's almost over there. Right?
So, I can take care of him with just a cat.
Sure, only if he attacks the cat, though.
And also, this thing, but he can't even attack the cat, so.
That's amazing.
Okay, which cat are you talking about?
We talk about Wild
Cat. Oh, Wild Cat. Oh, I thought we were talking about the Cheshire Cat.
No,
talk
about Wild Cat.
But this card, when you play him, is scaled, because then he can take back the smoke
well. Well, again, he can take back any item anytime he's played or quests.
Yep. So, very, very dangerous deck, but they have the weaknesses of both these two decks, the Steel Sapphire one and the Ruby Sapphire version, can go big. They can get up there really fast, but they have the weakness of they are slow to start. So if you are questing fast, you have a good chance. And they have to hit the cards they need. They can only have 4 of those fishbone quills in their hand, in their deck. And if they don't get one in the first couple of turns, then a lot of their game plan messes up. Like
there's
they
also
can,
quite a few uninkables in there, too.
Yeah. So they can get bricked up really fast. So it can be really difficult to deal with. From their end as well, and it does require a little bit of luck of the draw from them, so they're not as consistent. I do like I prefer the Ruby Sapphire version. The Steel Sapphire one, I see that there's potential there, but I feel like must be missing something. But I think Ruby Sapphire is a little bit better overall. But that's just my opinion. Whenever you're playing this weekend, just play what you know.
Yeah, don't be trying, especially with because the Ruby Sapphire deck especially, and even like the Amethyst Ruby deck, like they definitely take a lot of like practice knowing what the cards do, knowing what to look for. And really all of the decks, like again, if you haven't actually played a lot and you're going to one of these tournaments kind of going in cold,
that's
like
good idea.
Do like make sure that you understand how to properly mulligan and what you are looking for in that first opening hand, because that really makes or breaks your game no matter what deck you're using. It's hard because, for example, if I see a whole new world, like a lot of times I will not give it up in my opening hand because I know I'm going to need it on turn 5 or 6 because I don't have a ton of other cards that give me cards. But that means I have a 5-cost uninkable in my hand now. And so, but if I don't get a whole new world, my game's basically over. So like knowing what's in your deck, knowing what to have, in your opening hand, what to mulligan if you don't get what you want in your opening hand, is definitely a very important part of the game, to make sure that you look up if you aren't somebody who's been playing actively for a while.
Yep. So that's some of the decks you're going to see this weekend. You're also going to see, like, random stuff. You might see someone just, like, unbox the starter deck, like, hey, I want to play. And this is maybe the first big event that their store is having. If you do see new people that you haven't known, just be welcoming to them. You know, say hi, introduce yourself, be friendly, show them how friendly the Lord Connick community is. Definitely has been a friendly community from what I have seen.
Mm-hmm.
I know. Yes, Oswald, we see that. Thank you, Malcolm. anyway, best of luck. Have fun. It's always the rule to go by. We will let you know how we did next week after we have played enough. I know I've got one. I've got one on Friday.
We've
got
Saturday.
Saturday, I probably won't be able to.
Oh, you're not going to go?
Well, I want to go audition for a show.
Oh, sure.
Right. And then I got to be able to pick them up from rehearsal.
They can. We'll be fine. You do not have to pick them up from rehearsal.
Okay. We talk about that. So maybe I will go Saturday.
Yes, you were going to go Saturday.
And then Sunday, we've got one at our main store. And then I've got one on Wednesday of next week. And then me and Malcolm are going to go do another one next Saturday as well.
Because I am going to a birthday party.
Yeah, you've got a birthday party. Mm-hmm. I guess. Well, no.
No.
Anyways. And then we'll be back at the regular league playing next Sunday as well. So big, exciting week. We wish you the best of luck. If you could return that favor, we could probably use it. Anyways, that brings our main part of that close. So before I hit Disney questions, guys, anything else you want to add?
No.
Cool. Awesome job. Thank you so much.
I just want to...
Was it about Bucky?
No.
No? Cubby?
Cubby, not about Cubby.
No.
Oh, they put a crocodile in the koi pond if you want to know something.
Yes, they had a giant crocodile in the koi pond.
A giant crocodile?
In the koi pond.
Like a Tic Tac rock?
No. Like a prehistoric type crocodile, like an old, like one you'd see in Jurassic Park.
That's just at the bottom of the,
Of the real koi pond or the fake
one?
What koi pond?
It's a pond where you would keep a fish. There's no fish in there that I know of.
It's just like in their and it's not like a big koi pond that you put in the backyard. It's like a teeny tiny one in their front garden.
Well, they can't put it in the back one because the giant robot T-Rex is guarding that one.
What is a koi pond?
It's a little pond that you put like in your garden.
Can you be more specific?
That's the ocean, but we will be more specific. We go
walk with.
We should go take a walk with you and show you. The koi pond, okay, hon?
that's
burn your kid right away.
That's an ocean, but that's the ocean, but.
And it's specific.
Specific.
Specific. It starts with an S.
Suspicious.
we'll work on that. All right, let's get on to Disney trivia.
Let's start a podcast. Come on, guys. All right, Disney trivia from the magical world of Disney trivia card game. Question one. What movie marks Morgan Freeman's first appearance in a Disney film?
Like, voice or visual?
I don't know. I've never seen this movie.
I think it's March of the Penguins. I know he does the voiceover for March of the Penguins.
Sure, March of the Penguins. That would be a better answer. It's the Nutcracker in the Four Realms. So, yeah. Can't wait for those cards in Lorcana.
I can't wait till they make a Nutcracker card.
I didn't know there was a Disney movie.
Wildcat
across,
like, six.
Anyway.
I'm not sure you'll get this one. What is the name of the group of people living in the Enchanted Forest in Frozen 2?
Oh, ooh, that's a great question. No, in Frozen 2.
Yeah, I know.
It's the... Does it start with an N?
Yes.
Is it the Knock?
No, that is the name of her horse.
Oh, that's right, the name of her horse.
Nevada.
It's not Nevada.
What's the name?
Nope, that's just a word.
The Never.
I don't remember.
The Northoldra.
Northoldra.
Oh,
that's a really good question because I love that movie.
I remember that.
The Northoldra. Okay.
Oh boy.
Okay. Should have looked at this ahead of time, sir.
Yeah, these last two are good.
Okay.
But not this one. Who plays Dr. Evilini? In the series Wizards of Waverly Place. Can only hope for Wizards of Waverly Place cards.
Dr. Evilini.
Dwayne the Rock Johnson.
I've seen a couple of these episodes, and I think it's...
I mean, it's a bigger name than I would have thought. I didn't know.
No, that's what I'm trying to think. I know...
No,
it's somebody old. This is... Wizards of Waverly Place, that's the show, isn't that the one that had Selena Gomez on it?
Is that Haunted by Donkey?
I think, no, it's...
Is it Selena Gomez?
It's not Selena
Gomez. No, she was like a girl. Oh, no, I don't remember. Who was it?
Octavia Spencer.
Oh, I thought it was a Talking Fly Donkey.
Okay, these next two are good.
Okay.
In The Lion King.
Yes.
What is Timon and Pumbaa's motto?
Hakuna Matata. What a wonderful phrase.
They have to have a part of that.
They do.
They do.
It's a song.
Put a past behind. No, put a behind in the past.
What set is it?
It is Hakuna Matata.
What set is it?
I believe it's in the first set.
It's in the first set. I think it's a 2-drop amber card.
Yeah, you sing it, I think.
I had it in my deck for maybe like a month.
Is that the one where you... No, that's Be Our Guest.
I think you look at like the top 2 cards. Oh yeah, Be Our Guest is a 2-drop too. I want to say it's like you look at the top 2 cards and put one in your...
That's
or put them in whatever order. Is that Be Our Guest?
I don't remember. It's a card that no one uses. It's fine. The last card, last question. In Toy Story, who's taller, Buzz Lightyear or Woody?
Woody. I like quite a bit.
Correct.
Because Andy wants Woody to be the tallest.
No, that's not why. He doesn't have any control over what size the toys are from the Toy Store.
You don't go to the Toy Store and there's like a whole big section on heights.
Yeah, it's just that the alien is... That's just how he is. He's just...
Buzz obviously grew up in a high gravity atmosphere. It made him be shorter, right? Because he lived on somewhere else that wasn't Earth, that had more gravity, and shrunk down.
That is exactly what it is in this completely realistic situation.
Yeah, I saw the movie. I'm pretty sure that happened. Because he lived on the planet so long that he turned from Chris Evans to Tim Allen. That's why his voice sounds so different in that movie. If he hadn't lived on that planet, he'd still sound like Chris Evans.
I see.
So that's how that works. Yeah. Okay. With that bit of trivia for you guys, we'll bring our podcast to a close. Thank you all so much for listening. We truly do appreciate it. If you are listening to us and would like to see our wonderful faces, you can catch a video version of this podcast on YouTube, where we also show you images of the cards that we are talking about. If you are watching on YouTube and like, I don't want to stare at these knuckleheads anymore, there is an audio version available on all major podcast platforms. Please recommend us to your friends, your family, your mom, your dad, your dog, whoever. Zelda loves us. I'm sure your dog will love us, too. If you have any questions for the family, you can email us at questlorequestions@gmail.com. That's questlorequestions@gmail.com. Thank you for the assist. Couldn't have finished that without you. Please feel free to rate us, review us, comment, like, leave whatever number of stars that you have. If it doesn't use stars, leave the maximum number of, I don't know, moon pies, whatever.
Also, if we get 10 subscribers, Malcolm will eat fruit gummies.
We're
not sure. It's just regular candy.
I don't know why he's afraid of them.
It's not like it's like we're making him eat rubber or something. He did this to himself too, so we don't know what it is, but apparently that's what he's going to do. So go ahead and subscribe to us, and Malcolm will eat some candy. So that's something. one other thing I did forget to mention before we go out. So if you happen to be listening to this early on Friday morning when this publishes, the Lorcana Challenge tickets for Chicago do go on sale on Friday, April 19th at noon Eastern time. So make sure you are on your computer and ready to go. They will be selling them through Eventbrite. So if you want those tickets, go ahead and get them. If you could give me like 30 seconds to a minute so I can grab ours.
Just 30 seconds.
That would be great. if not, I understand.
But hopefully you get them and we get them and we'll see you there. Like, if you do end up going to Chicago and, we do plan going there, and feel free to stop by and say hello.
Anyways, thank you again so much for listening. We have been Quest Lore, Family Lorcana Podcast, and...
We will quest you.
I don't even know what that means.
Yeah, that's a weird... Oh, man. I don't even know what to do with that. How do you quest someone?
Like this.
Just push them. That's what questing is. You just kind of push him into somebody else. That's...
No, he's tapping him sideways.
I tapped him.
He's tapping him.
Oh, you tapped him. I see. I see. Oh.
Are you questioned now, Emmett?
Yep.
You know what?
And...
That's the end of our podcast.
Wait, is anybody going to attack me?
And Oswald the Lucky Rabbit for Lokana, please.
Nobody's going to attack me.
Yeah.